It's my pleasure to introduce our speaker. And there's a man that came to me. Randy came to me and says, "Hey, I have a word of the Lord for this man right here." And I said, "That's our speaker." And he wanted to release a prophetic word to you. And so I'm going to introduce you. I'll just have you stand up. And Randy, you'll come forth and speak the word of the Lord. And then I'm just going to release Victor. So Victor and Liz Owens are based in South Wales, the United Kingdom. He was a police officer in Wales over 30 years and believes that was very much a season of God's preparation for everything that they do today. They have four daughters and are married and six grandchildren. Victor and Liz, and this might be an older version, but Victor and Liz are pastors of church in South Wales for over 17 years until the nations began to call them. And since that time, they had the privilege of traveling and ministering in many nations such as Australia, India, Africa, USA, Indonesia, Argentina, Brazil, and Europe. Wales is known for its revival, and their ministry is very much geared towards us believing for revival in our time, and each person receiving an impartation for the Holy Spirit and fire. They place a high value on relationships wherever they travel, and are very, very much want to see the end time church rise to the personal and corporate high calling that is in Christ Jesus. Victor, would you come? Randy, one of the things I do want to mention before we do this is that we don't take up a formal offering here. So as you're here and you hear the word of the Lord or something just grabs your heart, we just believe that that's the time for you to sow into the offering and say, "Yes, Lord, that's for me." Or, "Yes, Lord, that's what I want for my family." Yes. And just sow in. Just prepare an offering, your best offering. And we bless our praise and worship team, our sound men. We send out finances to different places. So, and we do, if you want to do a debit or a credit card donation, there's some slips in the back or right here. Randy?
I always thought we should have an ATM in churches. I'm sorry. Oh, I didn't have tithe today. I forgot, Pastor. Well, ATM's right back there. I was just going to say I wanted you. Last night was pretty powerful, and it was one of those nights that the prophetic was really, really just present. And it was like one of those nights you could go through and just prophesy over everyone. And the Lord, I didn't know who you were, and the Lord just, I looked at you, and the Lord says, "I'm pleased with them." And I says, "What?" And then I looked at it again. He says, "I'm just pleased with them." And I said, "Why?" And he says, "Because they know how to love." And so then the Lord started showing me that God is taking you to on a new level. He's taking you into onto a new platform. There's a new level He's taking you. He's graduating you to a newer level with Him. And in that newer level, God showed me, He says, "Increase, increase, increase." So Father, I just loose that increase over them now. One, there's going to be an increase in the anointing. The Bible tells that we only have that, the level of increase, anointing we have is according to what God apportions us. So He's increasing your anointing. And He's increasing your authority. And you're going to be like when Jesus was in the synagogues teaching, and people says, "Who is this that teaches not like the scribes, but one with authority?" There's a new authority. There's an increase of your authority coming that's going to be noticeable in you. And then the Lord says there's going to come an increase in the power in what you operate in. that because of this faithfulness that God is pleased with, there's a releasing of this power. And so, Father, I just want to pray right now in the name of Jesus. And, Father, I just loosen that increase, Father God, over them now. I pray, Father God, that because you said that they were faithful and you reward faithfulness because you said, Lord God, if you're faithful with a little, I will give you much. Brother and sister, get ready because God's going to give you even more, a greater. And I saw this platform that he's putting you on, and this platform that you were on was beautiful and it was great. And it was, but you could see the edge and you could see this and you could see that part over there. But this new platform he's putting on, there's no, you can't see the end of it. It because it's God's increasing you so exponentially that you cannot see or fathom the end of what this new place, that this new podium, if you will, that he's placing you on, because that's going to be your new pulpit. Get ready. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
It's really nice for us to be here. It's more than nice. It's great. It's great. And, you know that you belong to a certain tribe, and if you're with a bunch of people and you're not part of that tribe, you think, well, this is okay, but they're not my people. And we came in last night just as you were beginning to worship. We said, oh, these are our people. We're with our people. So I must be Eskimo or something, perhaps. I don't know, a Yupik or Athabaskan. Or you're nodding your head. You can see the features? It's lovely for us to be here. And I was just listening. I really believe that word, that God is bringing about a shift. I really believe it's a word for the state of Alaska. But when I say that, you rule yourself out, so I say it's a word for you. I really believe that is a word for you, and that if you'll receive that word, God will do something. And you say, well, how God's going to do it? Well, I have no idea, but I do know something. He really knows how to shift you to where he wants you to be. You're looking at somebody who never wanted to travel. I am not doing the thing I've always wanted to do. I never wanted to travel. In fact, I went to America one time, to Washington, and I brought back, we got four daughters, I brought them all back teddy bears from Washington, and my wife said, oh boy, you bought lots of presents. I said, well, I'm never going again. And then a year or so later, God spoke to me again, you know, and a friend of ours that Judith knows, a guy called Clive Jackson, he's a pastor in the south of England, and he said to me, he said, we're all going to Argentina. There's eight of us, eight pastors going to Argentina. One, two, is it on? Yeah.
No, this right here has to be exposed.
Oh, I see, okay. He said, we're going to Argentina because we want to see what happened with the great revival of Carlos Anacondia. And I said, all right. He said, would you like to come? I said, no, not me. I don't want to travel. I don't want to go anywhere. And I came home and I told Liz, she said, you want to go? I said, I don't think so. And then I told the leaders in our church, and they said, you definitely ought to go. You need a touch from God. They so felt that I needed that touch that they clubbed together and bought the air ticket so I could go. And I decided I went. And I went reluctantly, you know, but I went thinking it's the last time I'm ever going to Argentina. And when we were in Argentina, this will help you understand perhaps a little bit about our background. Because I was not ready to shift into anything. I just wanted to stay at home, be a family man, be the policeman, retire, enjoy life. And when we got to Argentina, We, as a team of eight pastors, we met a Baptist pastor. His name is Pablo Deros. Pablo Deros is very famous in Argentina. He's the pastor of the First Baptist Church in Buenos Aires. And he's like a theologian, written lots of books on revival. And he can speak English. So we immediately, when we were speaking to him, he prophesied a word over me. Where's Randy? Pablo Dearest prophesied a word over me, and this was 1997. And this was the word he prophesied over me. He says, God says to you, Victor, I'm really pleased with you. He said, Victor, well done, good and faithful servant. The Lord says to you, you've served me well with the arm of flesh. A Baptist pastor prophesying that to me. I was Pentecostal. I'll tell, give him the arm of flesh. God says, with you I'm well pleased. You've served me well with the arm of flesh. Victor, now why don't you try the Holy Ghost? I was flawed. I mean, we went home from Argentina, and I was saying to them, I said, you never guess what happened. This Baptist pastor, he prophesied these words over me. But do you know, I knew it was God. I knew it was God. I mean to say, it was a rebuke. You know what Proverbs says? Rebuke a fool, and he'll despise you. Rebuke a wise man, he'll become wiser. He'll get wiser still. I was determined to get wiser. And that year was a moment that life shifted for us as a family. From that moment, everything changed. And it wasn't the last time I went back to Argentina. In fact, 4 years later, we were back there again, meeting with somebody that you may know, Pastor Steve Tolliver. And there were no hotels free in the city because there was a big political campaign on. And only one hotel was free. And it was the one that I'd visited the very first time that I went to Argentina, the Christopher Columbus Hotel, which is near Claudio Friedson's church. What are the possibilities that God would even take you back to the very same hotel that you received the words in? And it was all like very, very strange. And we started a church in Argentina. We've got a pastor in Buenos Aires now. We visit there 2 times a year, last year and the year before. And God knows how to shift you. We're gonna pray a little bit differently tonight, okay? Is that okay? So you're sat next to the person that's going to get prayer from you tonight. Oh, you don't like praying for other people. Well, that was my job. No, we're gonna pray as I preach. Is that okay? Yeah? So, but you do it in a very special way. You have to give them a real push. Give them a push. Say, God knows how to shift you. Say, God knows, God knows. God knows how to shift you. He knows how to get you to where you really need to be. That's good. You're enjoying this too much. God knows how to shift you. And I was listening to Eleanor preaching last night. And she preached all my messages in half an hour. You know, I was willing her to sit down and shut up and say no more. She was preaching everything I wanted to preach. But she preached on a verse that I like to preach from. I'm going to preach it tonight. She spoke about Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 to 19. I'm going to use that because I really believe God wants to speak to you, because I believe that tonight something is going to begin to happen that will shift you into a new place. Wow. Tonight. Say yes to noche. Yes. Tonight. Tonight, come on. We know we don't have tomorrow. We don't have the next time. Tonight is going to be. So we're going to turn to Ephesians chapter 1. Verses 15 to 19, and the Apostle Paul is praying for the Ephesian church, and he says these words. Okay, so Ephesians 1, verse 15 to 19. He said, therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and your love for all of the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Say, spirit of wisdom and revelation. In the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, And what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. Amen. Amen. Okay. The Apostle Paul begins to pray this very, very powerful prayer for the church. Sometimes, you know, you read scripture and you just pass over stuff and you never really pick up on what's being said. But I began to pay very particular attention to what Paul was praying when he prayed for this church. And he says, ever since I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, I've been praying for you. He's not talking about their theology. He's not talking about the fact that they've been to a Bible school. He's not talking that their doctrine is sound. He's talking about faith. Say to the person next to you, he's talking about faith. He's talking about faith. He says, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, I have been praying for you. He's talking about something that's very, very fundamental. He's talking about someone who can actually hear God and actually wants to obey and do something about it. Faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So faith is very fundamental to the Christian life, isn't it? If Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. They listen to what I say, and they want to do something about it. That is faith. If you can actually hear God speak, can you hear God speak? Anybody? Three people? Four people? You can hear God speak, but you can't only hear God speak. You are willing to do something about it. You're willing to obey. You're willing to do what he says. You're willing to go where he asks you to go and say what he asks you to do. And is that what you're always like? I hear God speak sometimes. I do not want to do it. I was on a train in Argentina. We like to go on the trains. We meet some very interesting people on the trains. And on the trains there, they're selling all sorts of stuff. They're singing, they're dancing. Everything is going on the trains because people are earning their living on the train. And I was on the train, and I seen a man coming towards me, and he was crying, and he was shouting, and he was making an impassioned plea. And we had an Argentine pastor with us, and I said, what's he saying? I wondered if he was a preacher. And she said, no, he's not preaching. She said, his daughter's really sick, and he doesn't have any money. And he's asking people, will they donate something? And immediately she said it, you know, I heard God speak to me. And God said, Victor, give him a big gift. So he's walking towards me. And there are people giving, you know, like one peso, because they don't have lots of money. And there's something like 23, 25 pesos to £1. So, you know, there's lots and lots of pesos. People were just putting in 1 peso, 2 pesos, 3 pesos. And I looked inside my wallet, and inside my wallet I had dollars and pesos. Well, I knew God wanted me to give him pesos, right? And so I found the biggest peso note that I could find, like 100 pesos or something. And when he came past, I put 100 pesos in, and he went past me. And immediately he went past me, God spoke to me and said, Victor, I told you to give him a big gift. I said, it was big. And he said, but it wasn't the biggest gift that you had to give. And literally, the train is coming into the stop, you know, and I said, oh, God. I said to Liz, I've got to go after him now. I've got to stop him and tell him that I should have given him more money. So I have to go down the train after this guy. And I said, what's the problem? What's the problem? And he says, my daughter, she's got leukemia. And she's dying and she needs treatment. I don't have any money. And so I had to go back in my wallet and get the biggest dollar note I could find and take it out and give it to him. And I said, yeah, this is for you. And we prayed with him. And I realized, you know, it's one thing to hear God, and it's quite another thing to obey what God said. But when Paul talks about the Ephesian church, he says, I have heard about your faith. I heard about it. It's been told me. There was no Twitter, there was no Facebook, there was no internet. But word of mouth had got to him that these people had faith. They had faith. And he said, ever since I heard about your faith, I've been thinking about you. I've been thinking of praying for you. And he says, there's one other thing I've heard about. I've heard about your faith, and I've heard about your love for all of the saints. Okay, now, remember I used to be a policeman, right? So, I can read body language. I know if you're telling me the truth or a lie, okay? God is watching. Heaven is listening. All of these prophetic people, they know if you're telling the truth or not. How many of you, like, you love all of the believers? All right, one person. What? No, listen. One person. You're all going... Say this to the person next to you. Say, I really like you. Say, you're a really nice person. Say to them, say, you know, you're very unusual. There aren't many people like you. Oh, say this to them. Say, sometimes you're a little weird. And say this. You're saying all the things you wanted to say. Say this, say, I really love you. But, sometimes you drive me crazy. Well, you know, get over it. That's church life. That's church life. You know, that's God put us all together, and we're all very, very different people, aren't we? You know, looking around this room, we're all very different people. We can't all be good-looking, tall, slim, with a head of hair. You know, we're all very different. But it's a body, and that's the great thing about a body ministry. You know, we're all very different, and we're all making up this one body that God has put together. And he's put us all in our places so that we can function and be different, but also love each other. Somebody came up to Jesus and they said, Jesus, out of all the commandments, what do you think is like the most important commandment that there ever was? This is a really tough question, we know, but if you had to choose one, what would it? And Jesus said, no, that's real easy. He said, here it is. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one. You should love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might, with all your strength, with all your mind, with everything that you got. And here's a freebie for you, Jesus said. And the second one is like it. You should love your neighbor as you love yourself. As you love yourself. As you love yourself. As you love yourself, you should love your neighbor. There's a commandment that we have to love each other, despite all of the things that go on, and what we say, and what we like, and what we don't like about the person that sat next to us. Oh, now you got really serious on me. Why is Paul even praying for these people? Why is he praying? They have a faith that is talked about. People have heard of their faith, and their faith has gone abroad, and he has got to hear about it. They can hear God speak, and they also are willing to do what God says. And that's difficult to find. But above and beyond that, their love for each other, the word of their love for each other, has also gone abroad. And people have told and talked about it, how much they really love each other. They're not all in the same church. They're not all the same denomination. They don't all have the same doctrine. They don't all have the same belief system. But they really love each other. out of the faith and the love, which is the most important? Yeah, absolutely. You know, the scripture says if you have faith that's big enough to move a mountain, that's how great your faith is. And though you can unravel all mysteries, and though you have the gift of prophecy, if you do not have love, if you don't have love, you don't have anything. But the Apostle Paul says, he says, I'm really, when I think about you, when I hear about you, I hear these two things. You have faith and you have love. And they are both in abundance and they are strong. Therefore, I want to pray for you. Why would you want to pray for people like that? I mean, these are mature Christians. They know how to forgive. They know how to love. They know how to get over offense. They know how to hear the Holy Ghost. They know how to make progress and do what God says today, not tomorrow. They know how to react immediately to whatever the Spirit of God is saying. Why is he praying for them? Because he wants them to shift. He wants them to come up into another place. He wants them to move forward into everything that God has got for them. He wants them not just to be somebody who's looking for somebody to come and do what needs doing. He wants them to be the people that do it. Do this to the person next to you. Get your elbow, right? The small of your elbow, and just stick it right in their side. And say, this message is for you. This message is for you. He's got this incredibly powerful prayer that he's praying for them. And I want you to listen to this prayer, because the prayer is incredibly powerful. And he prays this prayer in stages. And Eleanor was preaching last night about the pool, you know, where the angel came and stirred the waters and people got healed. And she was encouraging us to believe God for a new day when we could one more time. Believe God for blind eyes opening, deaf ears opening, cripples walking, the dead being raised to life again. How many people would like to see that? Six people, okay. We got revival. Okay, yeah, absolutely. Me too, absolutely. Me too, I really want to see it. I want to see those things happening. But the Apostle Paul is praying, and he's praying these five things. Put your hand on the head of the person next to you. Now, don't be afraid to mess up their hair, okay? It's okay to do that. Don't be afraid to turn their head through 360 degrees. That's okay as well, okay? I just give them a push so that they know that you're really connecting with them. I say, I'm praying this prayer for you. Okay, say these words. Say, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and your love for all of the saints, I've been giving thanks for you and I've been praying for you that God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, would give you, say it again, would give you tonight, the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Come on. The spirit of wisdom. The spirit of revelation. Take your hand and put it on their eyes. Okay. Have you got your hand on their eyes? That your eyes would be open. That your eyes would be open. That your eyes would be open. That you would know. Put your hand on your own chest. That you would know the glorious call of God on your life. The glorious call of God on your life. The glorious call of God on your life. And that you would know. Put your hand out. The inheritance that is yours. The inheritance that is yours. The inheritance that is yours. And shake your fist like this. And the power. And the power. And the power that is available. The very same power that raised Jesus from the dead is available to you. It's available. Come on. It's available to you. It's available. Now, here's the problem. Here's the problem. He's praying for obstacles to them seeing miracles. Yeah. Listen to me. He's praying that they would overcome every obstacle. Yeah. He's saying to them, I like you. I like your faith. I like the way that you hear God. I like the way that, you receive the Holy Spirit. He's saying to them, I really like you. I like the way that you love people. I like the way that you're inclusive. I like the way that you get over offense. I like the way that you forgive people. But it is time to move into another game. It's time to shift. If we are going to see Alaska turn, if we are going to see a move of God, if we are going to see a revival in this place, something has to change. Do this. That's what's got to change. That's what's got to change. Yeah, it's up here. Jesus is going there. It's up there. It's up here, which is why the very first thing he prays for is, he says, I am praying for you. That God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ would give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. I want to ask you a question. Can something that is small contain something that is large? Yeah. Oh, theologian, huh? You heard about it? Yeah, me too. Me too. When I heard about it, something that is small. You say, what does it contain? 237 milliliter, like a quarter of a liter. Could it contain something infinite? Could it contain something great and something grand, something infinite? Could it contain? And everything within us, in the thinking of our rational minds, says, no, it's not possible. But the truth is, what this brother said, the truth is, yes, something small can contain something great. Well, you say, well, it can, you know, it can contain 237 milliliter, and then it's full. Well, it is if you put the top on. If the top's on it, it can contain no more. If you've heard all you need to hear, if you understand all there is to understand, if you've received all the revelation there is to receive, well, I'm sorry for you. Because God is infinite. Why do we need eternity to know him? Because he's infinite. It's going to take an infinite amount of time to come to terms with this eternal God. And you know so little. I like what the scripture says. It says, now we see through a glass darkly. You know, now we barely know anything. But then we shall know. Well, God really wants to give you more revelation. I don't care how long you've been a Christian. I became a Christian when I was 11 years old. I'm 66 years old now. You do the maths. Been a Christian for a long time. And God is screwing with my thinking constantly. Honestly, I'm in a constant state of flux. I am reading the Bible again and again and again. And seeing things far differently than I did 5 years ago. I'm saying, God, I'm so sorry. I preached that message. I hope they put it in the bin. Because I'm so ashamed of what I understood 5 years ago compared to what you are showing me today. The Lord really wants to give us revelation. It, Those disciples, you know, they went to the best Bible school they could ever go to. They had 3 years in the company of Jesus. It was a wonderful time of revelation. At the end of the 3 years, I don't know if they were any wiser. I mean to say, Jesus was just like, he's just shaking his head, and he couldn't believe how stupid they were, how dull of hearing they were, how they couldn't understand anything. You know, they're still saying to him at the end of the 3 years, show us the Father. And he's like, for goodness sake, what more can I do? You've seen the dead raised. You've seen blind eyes open. You've seen cripples walking. And you are still saying, show us the Father. He says, listen, if you've seen me, for goodness sake, can you even get this little thing? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. But at the end of 3 years, he says to them these words. He says, it's John chapter 16. He said, I have so much more I want to say to you. There's a whole load more I want to say to you. But listen, you can't take it right now. That lid needs to come off. Just take a moment. Just say to the Lord, say, Lord, help me. I need your help. Open me up. Show me. Show me. Just like Moses said to God, Lord, show me your glory. Lord, I say, I can't go on again. If you don't show me, if you don't come and reveal yourself to me, show me who you really are and what you really have to say to me. God wants to come in and he wants to speak to us. He wants to do it tonight. He wants to come and do that. He wants to give us a revelation of who he really is. And we read those verses very often where Paul says, I am praying for you that you would receive a spirit of wisdom and revelation. And we think, oh yeah, maybe speak in tongues, maybe roll on the floor, maybe laugh a little bit, maybe go home happy, maybe have a warm feeling. But the Apostle Paul, he's using a scripture that if you go back to Isaiah chapter 11, verses 1 to 3, it's speaking about Jesus, and it's saying about him, it says that God is going to raise up a new stump from that stump of Jesse's tree, and he's going to have the Spirit of God on him, and it's going to be a spirit of power, and it's going to be a spirit of might, and it's going to be a spirit of wisdom. And it's going to be a spirit of revelation. And it's going to be a spirit of counsel. And it's going to have the presence of God all over it. And the fear of the Lord is going to be upon him. And it's going to be tangible. God wants you to come into an experience where you not only feel the strong presence of God, but everybody around about you can feel it. Did you know the world is looking for something? They don't know what. They try the drugs. They try the alcohol. They try everything out there. And they're still looking for it and they cannot find it. But when they get in the presence of the Holy Ghost, they suddenly feel something that they want and that they would like to taste. I was in somebody's house. Friend of mine, I got lots of friends now who are not Christians. I say that I'm boasting because there was a time in my Christian life when I was not allowed to bother with people who weren't Christians. God's had to change my thinking. God's had to change my thinking on that. And when I was in this friend's house, he was being visited by somebody who wasn't a Christian. And the person who wasn't a Christian was a little bit tipsy. They'd been drinking. His name was Andrew. Andrew's 64 years old, and he's a multimillionaire. Made all his money buying houses in the UK. And Andrew said to me, so, what do you do? I don't tell people I'm a Christian. I know I want them to feel Jesus. I want them to feel his touch. I want them to hear his voice. And I want them to feel his presence. And I want them to say to me, what is that? And then I'll tell them it's Jesus. So Andrew said, so what do you do? I said, well, we travel a lot. He said, well, where do you travel? And my friend in the house who's not a Christian as well. He said, they travel everywhere. He said, they go to India, China, Indonesia, Argentina. You say the nation, they go there. And the guy said to me, he said, so you're a tourist? I said, no, I'm not a tourist. I said, we're working. He said, really? He said, now that's the job I'd always wanted. He said, what do you do when you get there? I said, oh, we visit people. And he said, you visit people in all these nations? I said, yeah. I said, well, we got family and we got friends. And what actually do you do when you visit these people? I said, okay, you're pressing me now. I said, well, we go to churches. He said, I knew it. I knew it. And here's the words that came out of his lips. He said, I knew you loved the Lord. I knew you loved the Lord. He said, as soon as I saw you, he said, I knew that. And he said, you know, all of my life, there is only one thing I've ever wanted to do. He's a multimillionaire, and he's 64 years old. I said, what is that, Andrew? He said, when I was a little boy, I wanted to be a missionary. I said, you're joking. What happened to you? He said, well, I met a girl. We fell in love. I got married. I started a business. We made a lot of money. We made much more money. We had a family. He said, the story, you know, it never happened, and now it's too late. And I said, no, it is not. No, it is not. I said, you can be a missionary with me. Yeah. He said, where would we go? I said, we would go to Argentina, Indonesia. Where do you want to go? He said, I could see myself as a missionary in Argentina. I said, come on then, let's go. Let's do it. Pray for Andrew. Pray for him. But the world can, they can feel it. They can feel the tangible presence of God. They can. It's not just for church. It's not just for the end of the meeting. It's not just for when the preacher's preaching. But God wants to give us a revelation of a spirit of counsel and might and power. God wants to come in a very tangible way and touch us so that this can be felt. And the Apostle Paul, he prays for them. He says, I'm praying for you. Oh, my time's going. I got another 10 points. He said, I'm praying for you that you would receive even now, where you're sitting, just receive it now. Just put your hands up. Lord, your spirit, of power, your spirit of might, your spirit of strength, your spirit of counsel, your spirit of the fear of the Lord, the tangible, strong presence of God coming on every individual in this place. We ask it in the mighty name of Jesus. Put your hands on the eyes of the person next to you. Got your hands on their eyes. He says, I am praying for you that you would receive the spirit of wisdom and revelation, that the eyes of your understanding, hey, would be open. Say open in the name of Jesus. Open in the name of Jesus, that the eyes of your understanding would be open. I like those words that will be for you. I like those words of the eyes all around about you. The eyes all around about you. God touching you by his spirit. Hey! God touching you. Your eyes open. Your eyes open. The people of this land, the people of this land have been hearing God speak for generations. The people of the land. The people of this land are a people of dreams. The people of this land are a people of visions and a people of angelic visitation. Well, now it begins again. Come on. Stretch out with your faith. Declare it over them. Declare it over the people of this land. Come on, declare it, church. Say, we declare over you. We declare over you that God will put his spirit of wisdom over you. That God's spirit of revelation will come to you. That in all those villages tonight, in all those villages tonight, they'll receive angelic visitations. The power of God touching them. Dreams where they see Jesus. Visions where they see angels. We declare it. Eyes open in the mighty name of Jesus. Everything begins with the Holy Ghost. Everything that God wants to do begins with the Holy Ghost. But let me tell you something. If you do not know who you are, nothing can happen. Now listen. If you don't know who you are, what are you waiting for? God isn't going to move through this country through a man from Wales. You were born here. Your family is here. You have a heritage in this land. Your foot is in this land. You have something to gain in this land. Who is God going to use? You! God's going to use you. God's going to use you. The days of the one-man ministry are over. They're over. I was preaching in a Chinese church in Indonesia. You laugh. I was preaching about Moses. I said, when God was going to bring his people out of Egypt, God had a plan. He was going to use a man. And the man was very disappointed because he wanted God to do something supernaturally. Moses was really, he didn't like God's plan at all. He made all the excuses. He was a stutterer. He couldn't do it. But God didn't listen to any of that stuff. God's not listening to you either. He's not listening to your excuses. That's what I mean. He's not listening to your excuses. Because his plan is, you will do it. Oh, no, you're not amening. No, you will. You'll do it. God's determined. It'll happen. And I said, so when God wanted to lead a people out of Egypt, who was he going to use? And they all said, Moses! Of course, they all said it in Chinese, but it was Moses. And I said, when God wanted to part the Red Sea, who was he going to use? Moses! When God was going to take somebody up a mountain, who was he going to use? Moses! I said, and when God wants to bring a revival to Indonesia, who is he going to use? Moses! I said, no. I said, Moses is dead. He's dead. God's going to use you. But this takes some believing. See, a shift has got to come about in our thinking. A shift has got to come about in our thinking. God's not going to use some crazy person from another nation. God is going to use you. You were born here. That's why he's going to use you here. God's going to use you. John the Baptist. Before he was born, an angel declared, God is going to use this boy. He's going to be great. The Spirit of God's going to be on him. When he was born, his father prophesied over him. And his father took him in his arms. Before he could utter a word, before he could speak, before he could comprehend those words, Zechariah is prophesying, son, you're going to be great. God's going to use you. You're going to change this land. You're going to prepare a way for the Messiah. But somebody had to believe it. It's been prophesied over you so many times. And people have come and they've preached it to you. And you've read it. And God has spoken it to you. But there must come a time when you look in the mirror and you say to yourself, I believe this. I believe this is who I am, and this is what God has called me to be. And they walk up to John the Baptist in the desert, and they say, so are you the prophet Isaiah? Are you Elijah? Are you the Messiah? Are you one of these? And he says, no, I'm none of these people. Well, who are you? And John says, I'll tell you who I am. This is who I know I am. I'm the one that Isaiah prophesied about all those hundreds of years ago. I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare a way. That's who I am. I want you to grab hold of the person next to you and give them a shake and ask them this question. Say, who are you? Who are you? Who are you? Who are you? In all seriousness, we have to be convinced, because we will never know the power of God in any real way until we let the Holy Ghost come and do his work in our lives. And he will never fully finish what he's come to start until we, no matter how much faith we've got, no matter how much love we have, no matter how mature we think we are, until we can say, okay, I'll get over myself. Lord, I accept what you say about me. I accept it. I don't care what people say. I'm not looking to the left. I'm not looking for the right. I'm not looking for you to declare who I am. I'm not looking for somebody to give me a badge. I'm not looking for somebody else to identify me. I am sure this is who I am. This is who I am. Tell me. Say, Victor. I know who I am. It takes a long time to find out who you are. I'm not saying you can find it out in 10 minutes. But you know what? If you have a burden of God on the inside of you, it's very different to that person sat next to you. God has made us all very, very different. You want to pray like crazy, they don't want to pray at all. The person on the other side, they want to fast all of the time. All you want to do is eat McDonald's. The person on the other side wants to get up at 6 a.m. and everybody's very, very different. Nobody is like you. Well, praise God. That's the way God made you. But be you. Be the you that God has called you to be. And do what God has asked you to do. Jesus gets up in the temple and he takes the scroll. And the reading that day opens on Isaiah 61, and he says these words, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me this day, because he has anointed me to preach good news, to open the prison doors, and to set the captives free. You will not be popular when you do this, but it is the calling. To open those doors and set them free. But you have to say it. You have to believe it. You have to verbalize those words. Stick your hand out. What do you have? Oh, thank you. That's just what I was waiting for somebody to say. Nothing. I got nothing. We're all waiting for something, right? What are we waiting for? What are we waiting for? You have everything you need. Peter says in his epistle, he says, you have everything you need for life and for godliness. And everything you need as you go, God is going to give you everything you need. But so many times I speak to Christians and they say, well, when I said to God, when this happens and that happens and the other happens, then I'll do my bit. No. 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 That is not faith. Faith, you know, when God spoke to Abraham, he said, get out and go to a place that I will show you. He knew nothing. He just went. This is the shift. Somebody's going to get this tonight. Somebody's going to receive this message. Somebody's going to begin to receive a revelation. Going to receive a spirit of wisdom. Somebody's going to begin to confess who they are and believe who they are despite every opposing voice. Somebody's going to say, I have. Remember Peter, you know, Acts chapter 3, he meets the crippled guy, and the crippled guy is asking for money. He says, well, I don't have silver, I don't have gold, but I have something. Do you believe? See, some people, when I say to you, why don't you pray for the person next to you? The person next to you say, no, not you. I was rather hoping the preacher was going to pray for me. Listen, you have. You have something to impart. You have something that you can give. There is something inside of you that can be imparted to a person next to you. You have it. I like when you read about Joshua. I think it's Joshua chapter 4. You know, God has already spoken to him, Joshua chapter 1, be bold, be courageous, I'm with you wherever you go, wherever you put your foot, I will bless you. Be bold and be courageous, Joshua. You know, he gets, I think it's Joshua chapter 4, he gets stood in front of Jericho. He's looking at the city of Jericho, and it says that it's a fortified city, that it's got soldiers and garrisons of men, it's heavily fortified. You know, it's got walls that are thick enough for chariots to go along, and no one can get in and no one can get out. And Joshua says to God, God, we have an impossible situation here. It's mission impossible that you've called me to. And God says these words to him. He says, Joshua, put out your hand. You see, it's not until you get to the impossible situation that you need God's answer. When you get to that impossible place, when you get there, not 6 months before when you're planning it, when you get there, God is going to provide you with what. And God said to him, Joshua, hold out your hand. And he says these words. He said, Joshua, today, into your hand I deliver the armies of that city, all the inhabitants of that city, and everything that is that city, I deliver it into your hand. And what did Joshua see when he looked into his hand? Nothing. All he had was what God said to him. And he said, thank you, Father. I believe it. I believe I have it. I believe I've received it. I have received it. I have received it. Put out your hand. Every impossible situation that you face, every family member that needs a touch from God, every person in your circle of friends and in your life that needs the power of God to touch them, every economic situation that you face right now, every employment situation that you face right now, every health situation that you face right now, there is nothing that is showing in your hand. But I want you to say something, and then I want you to close your hand over it. Say, Father, I receive it. I receive it. Close your hand over it. You have it. John's epistle says, and this is the confidence that we have. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know he hears us, we have those things we ask for. Don't let anybody rob you. I believe the shift is coming, church. We're going to see it. We're going to see the resurrection power of Jesus touching hearts and lives, blind eyes opening, deaf ears unstopping, cripples walking, the dead being raised to life again. And we're going to believe what God has said to us. Amen. Amen. God bless you. We'll pray if you like, but see what it is.
We can't do it without the power of the Holy Spirit. Some of us may not have invited him, his Holy Spirit, to come and dwell in us. We've accepted him as Lord, but we have his salvation, but we definitely need his Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Say, Lord, I need you. I need your Holy Spirit. Today I invite your Holy Spirit to come in to my heart. Come in to who I am and fill me with your Spirit all the days of my life. I want to be led by you and have the power to do your will. I pray this in your name, Jesus. I just want you to put your hand on the person next to you and just push them like that a little bit. You know, when Victor was there, he was saying, okay, put your hand on their eye and put their hands on their ears and put your hand on their chest and move it around on their head. And then when he said, okay, put your hand on your chest. And I was thinking, I'm glad he said, put your hand on your own chest. It could have been a little awkward. Last night, one of our, a couple that drives down from Wasilla to come to our meetings, Bill and Glenda. Glenda was sharing a dream with me that she had. She said, Robert, I had a dream about you. It was interesting. It was a little weird, but I came up to you and she said, and I asked you, Robert, what is the key to the glory of God? And I just started laughing and I said, 25. And then the dream just ended right there. And it's like, she said, and I woke up and I've been asking the Lord all this time, what is it? What is this 25? What is it? She finally said, she finally looked it up in the Strong's Concordance. And number 25 is agape. The agape love of God. It's having his agape love, his Holy Spirit, yielding to his unconditional love in our life. And that truly is the glory of God. When Victor was standing there and somebody is talking to him and, you know, asking him questions, it's the glory. It's the love of God. It's that that's coming out of us. That's the thing that makes the difference. You know, it's amazing. You know, when I'm walking through the prison, they did give me the keys. I have keys to the doors. But I'll set them free when it's time, their time. But you know, I've been sitting down and meeting with these men and talking to them. And there's sometimes, you know, I'll be sitting there, and it's like I see a vision, just like I see here. I see a vision, and I just start prophesying into their life, just prophesying. This is what I see, and this is what I hear the Lord saying. I'm prophesying into their life. Because by the word of the Lord, we're going to be set free. He's put me there to prophesy to people that had to be arrested for him to come and grab a hold of their life. And I am teaching them that we have a Savior, but we need him as Lord. And when we have him as Lord over our life, we can truly walk in freedom. He has set me in place there as an agent of freedom. And wherever you are dwelling, he's placed you there for a purpose, to be his agents of freedom. Wherever you work, whatever you do, he's put his word in your mouth. And we have to speak out his words of love. We must do it. It's a part of what he's called us to do. You know, the kingdom of God is truly built on relationship. And we have relationship with each other. We have relationship with Judith. Thank you so much for being here this weekend. And you have your meeting tomorrow at Anchorage City Church. Victor is going to be speaking at Judith's meeting at 2:15, right? You know what? There's more of what God wants to say to us. We're seekers of his face. Let's seek after him tomorrow at 2:15, Anchorage City Church in the upper room, right? And we have Pastor Kim back there, pastor at Anchorage City Church. Thank you so much for coming. Pastor Tim back there in the back, out in the valley, pastor of the Moravian Church out there. We just thank God for what he's doing. This weekend has been amazing. Next month, I think we're going to have a little thing up here that says next month is our next meeting, but it's February 8 and 9. Oh, February 9 and 10, sorry. It's a Friday and a Saturday. And we're going to throw in a morning service also at 11, because what we're going to focus in on is the prophetic. We're going to invite people like Judith to come and speak to us and release the word of the Lord and others that are coming. We're going to have some of our intercessors release prophetic words and things like that. This is the focus that we're going towards. Some of you may want more of the prophetic. Maybe you want to hear the voice of the Lord. We're going to impart. So come and be a part of those meetings. We need prayer for God to open up that gym over there so we can expand out. And he's going to do that here real soon. So it's been wonderful to be with our tribe this weekend. Father, I just thank you, Lord, for each person here. Thank you for your Holy Spirit just going out with each one of us, Lord. I bless them, Lord, and say, go forth and prosper. Go forth and speak the word of the Lord. Thank you, God, for your grace and your peace on each person's home, Lord. Your love and your joy, a new manifestation of your love being poured out. Thank you for giving your angels charge over us as we go out tonight, Father. God, I pray this in your Son's name, Jesus. Amen.